Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Grover Weaver Radio Show. I'm Grover Weaver. I'm your host, coming to you live out of the great city of Fort Worth, Texas, on this Thursday night, the 16th of December, in the year of our Lord and Christ, 2010. It is 47 degrees, or we have a pleasant night. We don't say so much about it because we recognize that in the rest of the world it's a little bit more difficult. But we do take knowledge of that the night is a pleasant night, and we have had some horrendous ones in the summer that's just passed. There's things in the news that we want to react to. And you know, we here at the Grover Weaver Radio Show is just a common man reacting to what is coming out on the news each day. We talked an episode or so back about three men. We want to look back tonight at those three. One, we talked about an ex-convict who killed himself, Harold Smith. That hasn't changed. But the Hollywood Police Department has updated what they have given out to the poor. They initially said that he is this deranged man, an ex-convict that had a fetish for a bicycle. While riding that bicycle, armed with an automatic weapon, shot and killed a Hollywood publicist and put kill shots within a 2-inch radius. And all the while he is shooting and killing, he is catching the rejected shells in his hand. Not easy to do, one would think, on second thought. So they have revived that and say, well, he still acted alone. He still rode a bike while carrying out this deadly act, but it was a revolver that he used. So we still left to wonder, we who are of a conspiracy theory of sort. So we'll just are left to wait and to the movie of the week that'll come to a cable channel in our near future. The man to whom was incarcerated, he tonight is free. Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks, a 39-year-old Australian, was freed today out of a London prison after posting bail in the amount of $315,000, tagged with an electronic monitor, needing and required to report to the police daily, and he must live with friends, because he, remember, he offered up a P.O. box. So he'll be rooming with a former British Army officer and a supporter while he fight extradition for the next year, early next year, for its rape charge that they got against him. As I said to you then, I wouldn't give a fat rat about the charge of him releasing classified documents. I believe in a democracy there ought to be a right to know. And I believe that things ought to be fair. And in this country, if you're going to lock up one who purports himself to be a journalist, as Julian Assange has so stated. Now, I don't think that he, you know, got degrees, but if you do the work of a journalist, then I am prepared to call you a journalist. So what he did, he published from his website that he found, WikiLeaks, was a whistleblowing site. If you have something you want to tell the world and it's credible, then give it to me and I will make it known to the world. And if we charge him, then we ought to have charged the New York Times way back in 1971 during our rant and rave about in regard to the Vietnam War. A man named Daniel Ellsberg released what came to be known as the Pentagon Papers. And the New York Times published that. A big rave rant was made about such a thing, but there was no charge. And that was part of the beginning that it came in our public speak that it was a right to know and the freedom of the press to print. And when in a more recent time, when Bob Woodard wrote and revealed to us who Deep Throat, well, he didn't really reveal to who Deep Throat was. I don't know if there was any credible evidence that I received who was Deep Throat, but we don't go down that trail. But the Washington Post never was threatened to come to be charged for printing the Watergate saga, nor was the Times under Dick Cheney. Excuse me. When Dick Cheney and Scooter Libby released classified information that told of who was a covert agent that recently came out into a hit movie. So the United States has things that they do that's always not consistent. And I am glad that the UK did not do what could have been done, could have found ways to keep this man incarcerated while the United States find ways to prosecute him. Now, I ain't mad at the United States for going and doing everything they can to stop the leak, because quite frankly, what he revealed was very embarrassing and a lot of feelings was hurt. But we are a big country and we can man up to that. But when we look at the third man, we talked about purgatory being his place. And purgatory is being a place where one winds up at where he didn't hope to be. And we identified that third man as our 44th president, President Barack Hussein Obama. And Mr. Obama is in purgatory tonight because he is waiting. It's his ambition that got him there. He allowed his Democratic supporters, and we must admit that they were the only supporters he had in the House of Representatives under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, to move through his agenda. And they, working together, sent forth legislature after legislature, cap and trade, all the things that the student loan, bank regulation, health care, all of these moved through the House of Representatives and wind up in the chambers, wherever a bill go to die, in the Senate, and nothing was done because the Republican, his opposition, would not help at all. Their stated goal was that they would do everything they could to deny him of a successful administration, thus thwarting his desire for a second term. And tonight he waits for the vote that would extend of his really a stimulus package to the nation that hopefully will stimulate the economy based upon put money in the pockets of the people who are going to buy. Now, we know the biggest part of that tax cut bill, that $858 billion package, there is considerable amount of billions in there for the tax cuts that are included, that includes the wealthy. But the 2% reduction in payroll taxes, hopefully, if you're making $50,000, that'll put $1,000 in your pocket, and hopefully you can have some fun time at the mall shopping and stimulating the economy. Because we know based upon statistics that the super wealthy who are going to get a tax cut, they are going to save theirs. So, Mr. Obama finds himself in such a situation because he did not, but that's because his party did not, and that's because they had no working partnership with the opposition to move anything like a tax cut, a nuclear arms treaty, or an immigration bill, or to move for a don't ask, don't tell, where you repeal it and allow homosexuals to openly serve in the military. That, and these are Democratic programs, and they are programs that the Republican Party have vowed to kill. So he waited and waited and really was hoping, I really think he was hoping that the election, even in the face of all the data that was coming forth, that they would pull something out and they would get some numbers that they could interpret as being a referendum on these programs. So having endured the selection that took place, then, and looking at the calendar, I think Mr. Obama made this compromise with McConnell on the directing the vice president to be his partner with McConnell and work this compromise to the extent that they have in place, because he wanted to get something that could be done and done quickly, because he recognized and accepted at their word they was his adversaries was not going to move. It's like I heard someone say, "I'm not going to shit, shave, or bathe until we get it done." And they agreed they would not do anything until they could get this here tax cut for the wealthy and fund the government. and believing that if we can make it be what they want, they would move it hurriedly through, and it would be what his partners in the House would accept, a tactical error that I think later on tonight will be rectified. His partners in the House felt slighted in that we have cared for all your water, and when we come down to this here final act, you allow someone else to do it and leave us on the sideline. And feelings were hurt and are hurt. And it looks as if, based upon the procedural miscue, that the bill, when it got to the House, that was a way that I know would have maneuver that would allow them to add an amendment. And they was adding this amendment under the threat that if you add anything to it, we will not accept it, we'll shut it down, because now there's opposition on both sides. The liberals don't want it, and the conservatives don't want it. But the vote passed Wednesday night in the Senate at 81-93, that is the bills. Now you got it passed, send it to the House, get it, they got to stamp it approved, just like it is, because time is running out. But Nancy Pelosi trying to hold the troops in place. She did what she have done all along, and that's been this effective tactician, and has put it in position as it looks as if a vote will be taken tonight at midnight or somewhere. And the bill would pass. But I think it was done so that don't ask, don't tell would have time to take a vote. The DREAM Act will be voted on Saturday along with don't ask, don't tell. And it looks as if now that they have made the decision to separate the don't ask, don't tell from the defense bill, and with the bringing aboard of the four Republican senators, Senator Brown, Murkowski, the Collins, and the other female senator out of Maine, somewhere up in there, they will stand up this time. They didn't stand the last time when that was a procedure vote in the Senate, because they felt that that was something that they didn't like. So now the thing is according to their liking, and it looks as if it's going to happen. So here we're going to have a man that shortly will be out of purgatory. He will have his second stimulus bill. He will have some, hopefully, an immigration bill that sets a course that will bring some type of immigration reform to the young kids who came to this here country following mom and daddy, and who have exemplified good citizenship. And the don't ask, don't tell, all of this here seem to be is on a fast track. So we're left now to see some historical changes that is fixing to come to our country. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about progress. There are some things that I'm not happy about, but I'm willing to go along with it just because it's happening in a democracy. If I had to vote, I probably would not have voted on the DREAM Act, nor would I have voted on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because I have some problems with those. But in a democracy, you got to stand with those who stand with you. And we'll say in closing tonight, because of the problem that the president have encountered with his base, we have the punditry is trying to determine will he or will he not get a will he get primaried, and there are people hoping that he does, because that seemed to be the only way that he can be denied his second term, because no president in modern time we know of who have ever had a second term that was primaried. And there are hope aplenty in the hearts of the adversaries that they will find someone on the left to challenge him. But as long as he has the high support that he has with Black America, with the Hispanics, and with the young, there is no way an effective third or primary can come up. And there will be some that will think in terms of a third party, you know, when they say, well, if you're pissed off at Obama, then go over and perhaps vote for a Green Party or something, pink, green, or brown or something. But none of that will materialize, and the independents will come back home and they'll see that he's indeed a wonder boy. We are looking forward to Christmas. We enjoy having you with us tonight. We thank you. We'll be here again. Grover Weaver Radio Show will be doing this here Monday night. And we'll do it on Thursday nights. And we'll do it as long as there are things happening in the news that we feel a need and a tremendous urge within us to react to. And we thank you tonight that you have spent this time with the Grover Weaver Radio Show. I'm Grover Weaver, your host. Good night.